And when I look at that, I say, wait a minute. God can reveal things. He can have these intimate times and show you a whole bunch of stuff, not because there's some big godly purpose, but just do it out of relationship. And I said, well, that means I'm a candidate. You know, I don't have to have a big position. I don't have to have, you know, some whatever to say I qualify. He died for me so that I could be in relationship with him. I qualify. Bible says that when the veil was torn in two, you know, the way was made open, and the Lord's in the heavenly realm, and he sits and he waits. What's he waiting for? He's waiting for us to go through the veil to be in his midst. You know, the purpose we have is not our jobs, it's not our ministry assignments. Our purpose is to relate to God. Because God was complete in himself at the beginning before he made creation. He didn't need anything. And then he chose to make man. And he didn't make man to be missionaries to go out to save men or to reach men, because nobody was lost. Nobody existed. He says, hey, why am I making man? He made man because he says, I want this interface. I want this relationship. So that's our purpose. We can have assignments after that, which would be being missionaries or pastors or teachers or, you know, working in the business world or whatever our calling would be. But that is secondary to the purpose, and the purpose is to relate to him. And I find confirmations of things like that just in my own life about where do I meet the Lord the most. Do I meet him the most when somebody's speaking to me in a sermon? Or do I meet him the most reading the word? Or do I meet him most when I'm bathing in times of worship? And I find for me, it's the times of worship. You know, when I let the Lord just kind of take me places in worship based on the word and let the word kind of open up in those times and let him kind of lead me into things that I didn't perceive, those mark my heart and make a difference in me. So I really appreciate the times of worship. I love them the most. In fact, that's part of what we did for Wednesday nights. We said at the end of the service, we want a time of worship, because if we abide in the Lord, one, that's following our purpose. We're made for him. And two, we'll bear much fruit, because if we abide in him, we will bear fruit. So we thought, where do we have the time to abide? So we wanted to carve out a time. And that's what after the message is on Wednesday nights, is a time to just abide with him and interact with him. So I'll tell you one story that happened to me about 10 years ago. And it was there was a messenger, you know, pastor said, when you pray, says, go to the foot of the cross and begin your prayer there. And he says, do that for about a month. So each day as I would pray, I'd go to the foot of the cross in my mind, and I'd see what was going on, and I'd start praying there, and you pray appreciating what the Lord did and recognizing your need for what he did. And that was the point. But after, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 days of doing that, you start backing up from the cross and saying, how'd we get here? And you say, oh, well, he was, you know, scourged. Oh, he was betrayed. Oh, and you go further and further back in the story, and you start, so I would start praying, like walking up to the whole scene over and over, kind of getting more of the picture in there. And so I remember this one day, I started praying, and as I was praying, in my mind's eye, or just in the way it was going in the prayer, it was almost like the Lord, the Father, put his hand right behind me on my back and was just guiding me through what I was envisioning. And so, okay, good. I'm with the Father. He's just gently leading me. But then he led me to this place, and it was an open area in a cobblestone area, and he sat me down. And I thought, well, where am I? And when I looked, there was the Lord. And he was chained to a whipping post. It was with the Roman guards. It was before the crucifixion. It was when the scourging was going to take place. And I was so aware of my guilt, because day after day, for a couple of weeks at that point, I'd been seeing what was the price that was paid on my behalf because of my life, because of my sin. It wasn't, for me, it wasn't about the world. If nobody else existed, that was the same price he would have paid for me. So I took it all as just my own. And I remember at that time, I started to panic. Because I said, the Lord, if he loves me now, when that whip lands and that electric pain goes to his body, he won't be able to look at me and have that same affection for me. That pain is going to cause him, it's going to make him hate me, because who can withstand that pain? And he's going to say, hey, you're the reason why I'm having to go through this. And so everything in me just wanted to bolt and just go run off in the woods or something. But right then I thought, the Father led me here. I said, man, this is the last place I want to be, but I also don't want to leave where the Father led me, and I can't put all this together. I can't make sense of it. And I was really struggling with that. And about that time, Jesus looked up, and he saw me eye to eye. And what I saw was not hatred, but just amazing love. It was just fragrant and beautiful and encouraging and uplifting. And it's like, man, I was so caught off guard by it. And it's just not what I expected. And the Father spoke to me. And he said, my son was having a bad day. And he was needing some encouragement. So I brought you here to encourage him and to give him the resolve to continue to the end. So I went from feeling so low, like the cause of his pain and worthless, to feeling like I'm the source of his joy. I'm the joy that's set before the Lord so that he would endure the cross. It's like, are you kidding me? And I remember that huge reversal of the emotions and the perspective. It just marked me. And it wasn't because of a sermon. And even though I'd read the verses, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, I didn't perceive it that way. But when I encountered the Lord in that time of prayer, it changed how I see myself and how I understand our relationship. And so the point is we don't want to focus on the do's and don'ts and get on the religious side of things and say, that's all this is about. It's always been about a man who's our God.